All right, let's go into the word. Let us agree in prayer this evening. Let us agree in prayer this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just pick up from where we stopped a few hours ago. So on Wednesday, Sunday rather, we're looking at spiritual gifts. Right, we're looking at spiritual gifts, and we're seeing spiritual gifts as part of the advantages that we have as believers, and also looking at how we can function with these gifts. Now, you could tell for our meetings physically, we've tried or ventured into having examples and practical sessions. So we're actually examining spiritual gifts by precepts and examples, yeah? And you could see that we've had examples every Sunday service. We've met physically in the last 1 to 2 months gradually. And it's been an edifying time, instructive time. And it's also beautiful to see that we all are getting involved and getting to grow in the things of the Spirit that is in us. So we'll just pick it up again today. And I might pay attention to how utterances and our words and tongues interpretation can be a yastic, or let me say that differently, can be a background to the revelation gifts. Do you understand? So let me look at that carefully and brilliantly as to how we can we can tend to know the direction in which we should go in a meeting by our words, by utterances, and even also by what other people have said as well, and what has been said before we minister and all of that. But I just don't pay attention as much to tongues. What tongues is really today for us? And then, like I said, the entire series of spiritual gifts for this year has its emphasis on the revelation gifts. And unlike the previous years, we've paid attention more to the utterance gifts, right? But if you can tell that our bias in this particular time of our lives and ministry is to pay attention to the revelation gifts much more than ever before. So we're trying to look through the doctrine and also the practice of it, we are trying to see how far we can cover, right? So we will just ensure that I want to see how we can lay like sort of foundation today for tongues, interpretation, utterances basically, and how we could get, because that whilst word of knowledge is something, or word of wisdom, any of them, is something that can be on the spot in the moment, truth is that from the tongues interpretation as well, you could also get a word of knowledge and minister, right? So we're going to have those expressions today, but let's start somewhere. You could tell that I expect you should be rather in 1 Corinthians 12, so you can tell that it's been our anchor chapter and book this semester. Did I just say semester? Well, this season, or this in this series. Yeah, so if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, we say it's concerning spirituals, brethren. Now, the word there, brethren, we said the word, there's someone who I just saw it this afternoon, right, into this evening. I saw someone having a sort of a respiratory sort of like something like gas, something gastrous, one of that. But I could just see God's power, right, at work in that person to get that sorted immediately. Yeah, I could just see strongly that person receiving God's mighty help and power right now to get that. It's just like a reflux, reflux, but it's sort of gas, but respiratory, just within the confines of those regions. Yeah, and I just say, receive your healing right now by God's mighty power in Jesus' name. There's someone else as well. I don't think it's particularly around you on this call, but you had a conversation with someone very recently about a skin defect. What is not defect? I'm irritated. So to say, we can call it a defect, right? And what I could just see was, a few days of rest, a few days of sleep, and all those skin irritations and everything becoming clear as normal. So if you are the one on the call, well, fine, good. You receive that, we receive that for you. But it sounded more like a conversation with somebody else. right? But I just receive God's mighty power in the life of that person right now, to get healed in Jesus' name, right? Beautiful. I could see another. I was going to say this first, really. I was going to say this first, but let's go ahead, okay? I'll come back to that. Now, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant. Now, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, if you look at verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. This is what the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, right? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another. Now, we've tried to, you know, pay attention to, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 over and over, particularly the first 11 verses. And one of the things we said is in verse 8, for to one, really, your attention in reading that phrase should be on the gift and the certainty of the gifts, right? We said that's a word similar to what is used in Ephesians chapter 4, right? And it speaks about the use of words that speaks about assuredly, confidently, certainly, right? So certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So one of the gifts that we'll find in or by the Spirit is called the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge, right? On Sunday, we would emphasize again on the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Right, so we said to another the word of knowledge, and answers by the same Spirit, another the faith, and faith by the same Spirit, right, another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we've looked at this carefully over the past few weeks, and we said from these that there are 9 gifts, as I itemized in 1 Corinthians 12. And so we can group those 9 gifts into 3 categories. We have the utterance gifts, right? We have the power gifts, and we have the revelation gifts, or the revelatory gifts, right? I would say for the utterance gift, we have tongues, interpretation, prophecy. We have for the power gifts, we have the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gift of healing. And we said for the revelation gifts, we have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and we have discerning of spirit. You see, on the backbone of everything, really, you know, you would see that the gift of faith in operation, so to say. So so the gift of faith, so to say. I think someone asked that question recently, I'm not sure, yeah. And I said I'm going to touch it probably on Sunday or maybe next week. But the gift of faith basically is just, you know, the ability of the saint to give expression to very strong, strange demonstration of the faith. Do you understand? And for instance, if you're going to lay hands on somebody who hasn't spoken in tongues before, right, and as soon as you lay hands on the person begins to speak in tongues, well, that's a demonstration of the gift of faith. What you see, for instance, in the life of what do you call him, Paul, who had, you know, things like scales on his eyes and hands were laid on him. Yes, you know, the mighty demonstration of God's power is there, but on the backbone of that is hands laid, an expression of gift of faith, and, you know, particularly again in walking of miracles, similar to what you have at the gate called Beautiful, right? Peter and John at the hour of prayer are going to pray, right? And they will get a man who has not, who the Bible says was lame from birth, and they'll get him to walk. You know, that's an expression, that's a manifestation of the gift of faith, you know, as part of the gifts of the Spirit. But much more than that is you see the mighty workings of miracles. Yeah, so, you know, your attention really should not be expected. So when you see a demonstration of, for instance, when you see demonstrations of, we could keep going through Daniel in scriptures, but I think I'll do that for us in another service, right? But, you know, your attention should as much, you know, be on the fact that it's an expression or a manifestation of strange possibilities that can happen with faith, so to say. So if you look through what we said in the categories, we said we have the power gifts, we have the gifts of faith, very, very important as, you know, an operation, which is usually at the backbone of the working of miracles and the gift of healing, much more than that actually is all the gifts, right? So we said, you know, we have the revelational gift. I would say word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You have a word of knowledge. Usually, a word of knowledge usually goes hand in hand with a word of wisdom, or a word of wisdom goes hand in hand with a word of knowledge. However, ideally for a minister, because your goal is edification, exhortation, and comfort, yeah, we don't end with word of knowledge. Yeah, so word of knowledge is a first bridge, right? One of the things I'm going to talk about on Sunday there as well, is how, you know, over the years I've seen that a lot of times when people start getting better in the manifestation of the things of the spirit, when they minister in word of knowledge, it almost looks as though, because they seem to, in quote, be sharper in their sensitivity to, you know, the impressions on their heart or the gifts of administration of word of knowledge, they sort of want to bask in the euphoria of that excitement at the moment, such that they forget that there's also supposed to be something else that follows through. So if you come to a meeting and minister to someone and you find out certain details that you could only have known by the Spirit of God, yeah, there's a reason why those information will be given, or those information was given. It's not just to bring those information to their forefront or to their face. Yeah, you know, the word of knowledge actually can work on things that people don't know about themselves. That's the truth. Right, but much more than that is, when that is in operation, there should be something around the word of wisdom that proceeds after that. Right, yeah, so it's something new to, you know, you will just tell that the gifts of the Spirit are all linked together, such that a lot of times people can, you know, bring the word of wisdom part of it under the, you know, prophecy wing, so to say. Right, you have those dynamics that they are all interrelated, so to say, you know, but some of them just have their distinctions at different times, just like saying tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Yes, they're all interrelated, you know. But one of the things we've said over time is that, you know, you need to trust God's Spirit, one, and also your goal is not to, you know, impress. Yeah, yeah, and scripture doesn't, we're going to get there, but scripture doesn't say, you know, for edification, for comfort, for exhortation, and for impression, or to impress another. You know, that's not your goal. That's not your goal. And you realize, for some of you who would have seen the, you know, the growth in your things on the revelation gifts or the practice of the things of the Spirit generally, you realize that somewhere in your mind, you've just over time gotten away from the burden to impress or the desire to impress, right? Yeah, so usually that's how it works a lot of times, right? So we said that these gifts of the Spirit are things that are resident, they are perpetually in the believer, right? So laying on of hands cannot give the gifts to the believer. However, right, there's something called the harnessing of gifts. Right, there's something called the fine-tuning of the gifts. There's something called much more manifestation or expressions of that gift. Are we together? Right. So so these are gifts that are of the Spirit. And once the Spirit is in the Spirit by default, or the believer, can minister and flow in the things of the Spirit. Right. So it's just like we said about tongues. The moment you say that, you know, there are some gifts that come on your life because hands were laid on you, you can as well say that tongues in the real sense is not something believers should experience, particularly if hands have not been laid on them. You get the point, right? So they are resident, but the truth is that something can be resident in one and it is dormant. And we're together. Something can be fully resident on your inside and it's not being given expression, or it is dormant, right? So Paul will say, I will not have you to be ignorant on this matter. And mind you, Paul is actually addressing a church which he earlier said that it came behind in no gift, right? Remember, there was a song we sang very briefly on Sunday, right? Yeah, they came behind in no gifts. That means they were actually a church that were given to the expression and manifestation of things of the Spirit. However, you still say to them that, you see, do not be ignorant on this matter. So imagine a caution or an instruction like that Paul is giving to a church that ideally does not have a record of coming behind in any of the gifts. That means they have a mighty demonstration in their midst, the workings of miracles, the gifts of faith, the gifts of healing. You know, they had it all at work on their inside, in their midst, in their gatherings. I went together. So what does that say to you? Well, as saints, there is safety in being, or in repeating the things, right? In repeating. Now, if you look at what Paul now goes further to explain in verse 12, let's have a quick rundown from verse 12 all the way to the last verse of chapter 13, then chapter 12, right? Then see if we can go to 13 today and 14. So for as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ, or so also Christ. You see the word is italics, right? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew, Gentiles, whether we be born free, we have been made to drink into what? One Spirit. So there's a baptism into one body. We've been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, if the foot shall say, because I am not in heart, now mind you, what is Paul addressing? Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Are we together? So it means that you actually link what he's explaining into the narrative of spiritual gifts in verse 1 to verse 11. Okay? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye and I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Right? But now had God said the members, as God said the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body altogether, right? Yeah, and the eyes cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary. Now, you see, if you're not careful, you might miss the point of 1 Corinthians 12 and be thinking about people who have certain gifts. Right? Emphasis in 1 Corinthians 12 is not on people particularly, but on gifts and the possibility of the gifts to be found to find expression amongst people altogether. So do you understand how you can say a body has eye, has leg, has head, you know, and you can use that to teach about in the body of Christ, there are plenty of us. We are many. Though we are many, we are one body in Christ. Yeah, yeah. So you can use that concept to teach that as well. You can also teach that in the Spirit of God, there are many manifestations, operations, differences, diversities. You get the point. So your emphasis, as much as possible, would be on the gift, because that's the narrative that Paul is addressing from time altogether. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, right, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, right, that there should be no schisms in the body, right? Yeah, so the schisms is actually a theological word, and that a lot of times, yeah, let's not look at that today, right? But that the member should have the same care for one another, right? One for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, and one member be honored, all member rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, right? And members in particular, right? And God had set in the church first apostles, right? Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. So you see a very fine tune, or a very fine blend that Paul is addressing, or a very fine introduction that Paul is introducing. Let me say that differently. You see a very fine switch that Paul is having, right, between gifts and people, right? Very fine switch between gifts. Emphasis from verse 1, gifts, right? If you now look through, you now realize that, the reason why there's that blend is because in the real sense, we would have to see those gifts by seeing people, right? So we would understand the display of those gifts, right? The manifestations of those gifts, the expressions of those gifts by seeing people, okay? So one of the things he says is God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healings, the helps, the government, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets. Now, if you look through verse 28 and 29 and 30, a lot of people in verse 28 usually teach helps, governments, diversity of tongues as, you know, running for the president of the United States of America as government, right? So there are some of us that will be in the apostolic ward. There are some of us that will have the gift of healing. But some of us, the gift that we have actually is actually the gift of kubernesis. That's the Greek word, right? Yeah, so the gifts we have is the gift of government, yeah? The helps and government, right? So we say, even if it's helps, helps means being welfare, taking care of the charity in the church. Then government means going into political offices. But if you look through verse 29 and verse 30, put it side by side with verse 28, you realize that there's a consistency. So when he says God has set some in the church, apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, government, diversity of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers. If you look through verse 28, you have the consistency of apostle, you have the consistency of prophets, you have the thirdly teachers. Yeah, I hope you're following. Yeah, I'm breezing through this because that's the way I'm going today, but I've taught this before, right? So we have prophets, we have apostles rather, we have secondly prophets, we have thirdly teachers. What do you have in verse 29? We have are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, right? Go back to verse 28. What do you have after teachers? We have miracles, gifts of healing. What do you have in verse 29? You have workers of miracles. Verse 30, what do you now have? Gifts of healing. Right, go back to verse 28. What do you have? You have helps, governments, and tongues. What do you have in verse 30? We've done gift of healing. We've done tongues. So tongues is consistent in verse 30. So group verse 28 as one. Yeah, group A, and group verse 29, verse 30 as group B. So in group A, you have apostles, you have teachers, you have prophets, you have miracles, gifts of healing, helps, government, tongues, right? In group B, you have apostles similar to group A, you have prophets similar to group A, you have teachers similar to group A, you have workers of miracles in group B similar to group A, and you have the gifts of healing in group B similar to group A. Do all speak with tongues? Tongues as well is in group B similar to group A, right? But what do you now go further to say? He now says, do all interpret, right? But covet earnestly. Wait, some words are missing. There are two words that are missing in verse 28. Two words are missing in verse 28, group one, that came into group two or group B, which is the word in. So you don't have the word interpret in verse 28, but you have the word interpret in verse 30. So what does interpret in verse 30 mean? Well, it means that interpret in verse 30 will actually replace the words that you have in verse 28. So what is Paul asking in verse 29, right? If you look very well, the word are is in italics. So all apostles here, yeah, really, you could have the question mark as well. That's why you can see the addition of the R by the translators or slash interpreters. But you have apostles, you have prophets, you have teachers, you have the workers of miracles, you have the gifts of healing, and you have tongues. But there's something that's missing in verse 28, but you have it in verse 29. And what do you have in verse 28? You have helps, governments. What do you have in verse 30? You have interprets. Are we together? So what exactly is helps and government in verse 28? So helps and government does not mean you supply help to your local church by washing the toilet and helping with those that are doing charity causes, or government means go and, you know, campaign against, you know, the sitting president of Colombia. No. Yeah, she God has called me into the office of government. That's not the government. You see, that allusion is actually the same thing that people have, or the same contradiction people have when they read Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is given, and upon his shoulder shall the government shall be. His government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be what? Wonderful Counselor. You see, the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's Isaiah. Now, so that's why we go back to Luke 24 from verse 21. You see that the people, you know, saw that Jesus was crucified, and in their hearts of hearts, they thought that he was the one that was supposed to redeem the government, right? Acts chapter 1 now shows you that they were asking Jesus after a 40 days teaching, when again will you restore the kingdom of Israel back? And Jesus asked them and said, well, that's not for you. Right, so it means that there is something about the gifts of the Spirit, or there's something about, you know, the work of Jesus that is not particularly directly, let me say that carefully, that is not directly linked to giving you a calling or giving direction to a government. You get what I just said? Let me say that differently. Right? So God does not choose president. You see, when that feast, which is usually consistent, yeah, if 4 years ago some, you know, people came together and they were giving some very interesting prayer points around God sending angels from Africa to ensure that one person wins the presidential election or what have you, yeah, a couple years ago, eventually the angels from Africa didn't work, yeah, because the person did not win. You get the point? Yeah, so when that space as well again, all right, not like I followed what has been happening, but I mean, it's clear like day what has been happening, especially if you are, you know, interacting with people, right? But you can see there's also that consistency of people saying this is God's choice, this is God's will. Yeah, you see, God's choice is not seen by the mention of God's name. Yeah, God's choice is not seen. Man chooses. Man will choose, man will desire what they want, yeah? But like I would always say, things like that are always won by how well you can convince the people or how well you can convince the ballot boxes. Are we together? Right, so can a Christian be in government? Yes, but don't use Isaiah 9, don't use Luke 24, 21, don't use 1 Corinthians 12. So what is help and government there? So Paul will now convert help and government and use another word in verse 30 and call it interpret. Yeah, so what is interpret there? Interpret there will mean to what? Help and govern. So it means that he said help government is equal to interpret. You get that? Yeah, so help government is equal. So help government in group A, verse 28, is equal to interpret in group 2 or group B, verse 30. So what is helps and government in verse 28? Yeah, Paul says another way you can talk about helps and government is interpret. Are we together? So what needs interpretation? Oh, my dear saints, it is tongues. Because if you go back all the way to 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 8 to verse 10, you see that there is something called tongues, then interpretation, then prophecy. So when tongues is spoken, Does it need to be interpreted for the minds of man? Yes. Yeah. So what can you say is happening when tongues are being interpreted? You can say help and government. At least, you know, you can say helps and government is being administered. Are we together? So it means that interpretation of tongues is a way by which what we help or we govern, right? So we provide supply help, right, to aid the understanding of man of that which was spoken in tongues. That is why you see, when we come to church, the local church together, yeah, there are times when, you know, we sing in tongues, then we interpret. What are we doing? We are trying to help your mind, that it was trying to give direction, govern the tongues, bring it to an understanding that your mind can relate to. Are we together, right? So health and government there will be used for interpreting in verse 30. Now look at what Paul says in verse 31. He says, but convert earnestly, right? But convert earnestly. You see that word earnestly? That word earnestly is the word that actually deals with, you know, where you have the root word or the word covetousness. Right, so it means the believer can be there's a time a believer can be covetous, right? So Hebrews 13:5, we say, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what ye have. But Paul is saying, you see, on matters of the things of the spirit, there's such a thing called not being content with where you are. Why? Because there is more. Yeah, you know, there's a song we usually sing, well, a couple years ago. Yeah, we will never settle for less. We know there is more that is found in God. Are we together? Yeah, that what a song. Yeah, we will never settle for less because we know there is more. You see, man can get to a place of complacence with the things of the spirit and just feel like you've arrived. Let me tell you for free, there is more. There is more. No, there is more. There is more. You see, a man can get to the point where he raises the dead. That's not the cap. There is more. Are we together? Yeah, that's not the cap. A man can raise a dead. It's not the cap. Are we together? There is more. Right? Yeah. So why do you think we pray or we do things the way we do in God's palace consistently? Right? Yeah. It is because we know that no matter what we term as we have done something good, there is more. Why? As long as you're on the Christian journey. So don't apply Hebrews 13:5 to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, because they negate themselves. Well, obviously, you see the context differs. So Hebrews 13:5 will say, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with certain as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Right? So that's a different narrative from, well, it says verse 31. Verse 31, look how it says in verse 31. It says, convert earnestly. It says, convert. That word there is zelo, zelo, zelo in the Greek. Yeah, it means to convert earnestly. That means to burn with a zeal, to desire earnestly, right? So it means to zealously sought after something. Altogether, right? It means to zealously sought after something. That's the word they covet. That's zelo, Z-E-L-O-O. It means to have a burning sensation or burning desire that is mixed or engrossed with zeal, right? To be zealously sought or to zealously sought after something, right? So what did Paul say? But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now look at what it says in next. Don't forget, the Bible wasn't written in chapters. The Bible wasn't written in verses originally. So Paul didn't say full stop, chapter 13. Right? So go read chapter 13. He now says, though I speak with the tongues of men. What is this he's speaking about? Gifts. Emphasis on what? Gifts. So though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, that's a figure of speech. Are we together? Paul is not, you see, don't come here and come and teach that there are tongues of men, tongues of angels. That's why you see some people, they chant and chant and chant. Remain small, they will carry you to shrine. Yeah, you chant, 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 chant. Yeah, you say, you hear some very interesting things that people say, right? You say, when you speak in tongues, it's tongues of men. But when you chant, it's tongues of angels, right? Or there's a name that's given to, you know, when people begin to, you know, say some words. Yeah, a lot of people that do it, a lot of times it's an extreme of yoga. Yeah, you are doing yoga. You say we should come and do yoga. You ask us to bring our mats. We sat down on the mats, right? We sat down on the mat. We are doing yoga. We did our hand like this. We did our leg like this. We are doing And you say that is for the angels. No, now, So tongues of men, tongues of angels is a figurative way of saying no matter the extent at which you call tongues, that's what he's teaching. It's not to say, see, tongue as a concept, right? That's what he's teaching. Just say tongues as a concept. There's something that is more important than that. Listen carefully. So when you say tongues, right, no matter what you call it, there's something. So he says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, figure of speech, and I have no charity. So it means that charity, what is charity? Love. So love is very important. So what should be on the background of your ministration of things of the spirit to the point of tongues, or from the point of tongues? Let me say that differently. I'm trying to say, when you put all the gifts of the spirit together, what should be on the foundation? What should be at the roots? It should be charity. So though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That means love should be the foundation or the background of my manifestations of the things of the spirit. Are you with me? So he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, right, so that I could remove mountains. So can you see what Paul says? Paul now says, right, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. So it means that an example of gift of faith in demonstration will be the removing of mountains. Are we together? Right. So it will be in my. It means trusting and believing for something that is extraordinarily supernatural. Right. You get the point. That's what I was trying to say. It's the foundation. What do you say of a woman who didn't have a womb as she gives birth to a child? Are we together? Right? What is of a woman who didn't have a womb and hands were laid on her, she's been prayed for, and she gives birth to a child 9 months after? What was at the back of that was the gift of faith. On the back of that was love. You understand that? At the forefront, what do you call it? Working of miracles. Right? So at the forefront, you call it working of miracles. At the back of working of miracles, you actually call it the gift of faith. But Paul is saying much more than that. There's a back to it. Do you get that? There's a back to it. Are we together? So if we say the front for the mind of a man or the mind of a man is interpretation of tongues or prophecy, are we together? Let me sound very interesting. So let's say the forefront is interpretation of tongues being interpreted and direction being given. At the back of that, what do you have? You have tongues, because there would only be interpretation because there was tongues. If there wasn't tongues before words were spoken, you can call that prophecy. Right, so at the back of interpretation, you have tongues. At the back of tongues, what is Paul saying will be there? Love. So Paul says, well, if I have all knowledge and I have all faith, verse 2, and so that I can move mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. That means the best way to flow with the things of the spirit is to flow with the things of the spirit from the place of love. That means they walk hand in hand. You see, there's a compassion you will have on people that will make you cast out devils. There's a compassion you have on people that will make you... So I'm trying to say, when you see the things of the spirit demonstrated, on the back of it should be love. Altogether. On the back of it should be love. What do you see of somebody who has something that, you know, by the spirit, you see something, you know, that has happened to them years ago that's affecting them in today or is going to affect them tomorrow. It's out of love, from a place of love. Are we together? Right? So Paul now says in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. So he says, and though I give my body to be burned. Are we together? He's trying to talk about no matter the extreme we go, whether with the gifts of the spirit, with the acts of demonstration of the gifts of the spirit, or the acts of, you know, giving to the poor and all of that, or giving up all we have. If I have no charity, it profited not. So man's profitability from the gifts of the spirit should be with a background or from a background of love. That's just the blend of that. He now goes further. So there's a more excellent way. Listen to what he says. Look at what he says in verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So Paul has addressed something called a more excellent way. Listen, there is no verse, no chapter in 1 Corinthians originally. Okay? So go back to verse 4. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Charity is not puffed up. That's love. All together. It does not behave itself unseemly. He seeketh not our own. You see, in our world today, we have a lot of people who are very selfish. Are we together? Right? Yeah, that is not from the root of what should be the root of your actions, right? Do not behave itself or similarly seek not our own, is not easily provoked, think no evil. It says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And now says, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in parts and we prophesy in parts. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is imperfect shall, which is in part, shall be done away. Dear saints, what is Paul teaching? Look at what he says in verse 11. When I was a child. I hope you are listening today. When I was a child. What did he say he was going to show in verse 31 of chapter 12? He says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So it means that there is a better way. Are we together? There is a what? Better way. So it means you want to minister the things of the Spirit to someone in the open, right? And you can sense as much something that seems to be, you know, whatever it sounds like, maybe negative or embarrassing. Right, but you will not, because it is oh, don't fear the Lord, oh God, you know, you will not shake and vibrate and say, oh, you see, I say anything because it's by the Spirit anyhow. No. Yeah, love edifies, love builds up. So out of love, you can call someone aside. Are we together? And minister to them. You can call someone aside. So I'm trying to say that there are different faces of people's lives. There are different faces of believers' lives. There are different faces that people will actually be in as believers. But there's such a thing called a more excellent way. That means you should grow. Are we together? Yeah, you can start up your ministry and somebody comes to your ministry and lies to you. And on account of that, they lose their life. Eh? But there is a more excellent way. Yeah, you get the point. There is a more excellent way. Altogether. That's why you see Brother Peter in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, right? People were selling their properties. They came and they sold, you know, some his family and Ananias and Sapphira. Is that the word? Ananias and Sapphira, right? Yeah. And they sold their property and they came and lied to Peter. Yeah. What Paul is saying, yeah, you see, he discerned by the Spirit. That's a word of knowledge. So how did Paul know that that's not the amount they sold it for? That's the gift of the Spirit. Yeah? Paul says, if you minister that without love on the background, it is in parts. Are you here? It is in parts. So what is the more excellent? What is the full way? The full way, it is with love. It is when you add love to the mix. Do you get what I'm trying to say to you today? Right? So Paul is saying there is the impact. So Paul is not saying that, you know, people read that verse and say, we know in parts. That's when you want to be a lazy believer. I'm not, and nobody is saying that everybody knows everything. Yeah, but if you see the argument of people who usually say, you know, we know in part, you know, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, what are you saying? Yeah, what are trying to say? A lot of times they're trying to say, you know, in fact, a lot of times the people that say the most, yeah, are people who, when they see people give very beautiful, fine exegesis from scriptures, just so that they, you know how man always wants to justify themselves. Man wants to justify themselves. Man just feels like the way they get better in life, right, is by justifying something. It's just by saying something to make themselves feel better that will turn down or look down the effort of people. Get what I'm trying to say, right? So, and that's the attitude that has ventured into people's life. It has ventured into people's perspective. It has ventured into people's approach of life. We're together, right? Somebody was telling me about how, you know, he was flying, and I think he flies frequently, or he has flown more frequently in recent days than before. And one of his friends saw him and said, is it not credit card there is in? Your credit card would have suffered by now. See, that's a statement from somebody who wants to make them or justify themselves. You understand? So if you're not careful, you start looking for the downfall in people's conversations. Downfall. So when people now say, when somebody explained the word very beautifully, you know, very beautiful and careful, you also see people, they see those who manifest in the things of the Spirit, and to make themselves justifiable, to make their listeners and carnality, yeah, satisfiable to their hearts. What did we say? It's fake. Is fake. They're all fake men of God. Do you understand? Yeah. And they'll come here, and some will come here, for instance, for the word pattern, and say, yeah, we know it. Stop doing like you know it all. Yes. Should you do like you know it all? No. Yeah, but you who is being taught, yeah, you are saying things that are silly. You are saying things that don't make sense. Somebody is trying to show you. You want to justify the fact that even though he is showing you, we know in parts, which I don't understand. Yeah, but Paul is not even teaching knowledge altogether, right? So if look at what he says in verse 8 again, charity never fails. Whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. There be the tongues, they shall cease. The knowledge shall vanish away. So even if you add knowledge to that narrative, it is not knowledge as an entirety of a concept, but in addition to what we call tongues, prophecy, or that gifts of the Spirit. Even if you. So Paul now says, for we know in parts, right? But when that which is perfect is come, right? Yeah, what is Paul addressing from verse 31? There is a more excellent way. So what does it now say in verse 11? When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Yeah? So Peter can get to this point of Paul and say, when I was a child, I acted as a child. How did he act? You came, you lied. I knew by the Spirit. All of a sudden, they are burying you. Brother Peter. Are we together? Yeah. So there is the part where you need to pay attention to the fact that we are growing. And that's why you see in life, yeah, in the real sense, you are not supposed to act good because you are scared that people might do things to you. And you are to do everything. It says, ponder on that which is pure, that which is holy. Listen, you can actually be somebody who is a good person naturally, not because of fear of a Peter who might be growing and he might say you are lying to him and that they will bury you. No, that's not your point. That's not your reason. Your reason to do well, to live right, to live righteous, is because it is an instruction in the Bible, so you do it as an end in itself. Altogether. So there was, look at what Paul says in verse 11. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I also understood as a child. I also thought as a child. But when I became a man, so what is when I became a man? Verse 10, when that which is perfect is come. Verse 31, I show ye yet a more excellent way. You get that? Yeah. So he now says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Yeah, I put away childish things. Hold your hands in 1 Corinthians 13 and go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Yeah, brethren, be not children in understanding. Okay, how be it in malice be children, right? But in understanding be men. In understanding be men. That means grow and mature. Are we together, right? So go back to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I speak as a child. Yeah, so when should children like nature be in a believer? When it comes to malice, right? You see, don't keep malice and be known for keeping malice for Africa. Yeah, no. Your name is not Malicia or your name is not Malaika. Yeah, don't keep malice for every. Don't let people know that the moment they upset you, your life is malice. Paul says, when it comes to the matter of malice, see, why does the Bible teach walking in love? It is because on your journey of the Christian faith, there will be those that will upset you. There will be those that will irritate you. That's why it is a walk. Yeah, why does the Bible teach forgiveness of sins or iniquities of others? Is because people will do sinful things to you. People will do unimaginable things to you. Altogether, then there is the thing called forgiving. So what did Paul teach about forgiveness? Be a man. What did Paul teach about malice? Be a child. So was Paul is also having those experiences in his journey of faith? That means Paul is saying when he started out as a Christian, he didn't start mature. Yeah, he didn't start mature. You get that? He didn't start mature. And everybody listening to me, including myself, we don't start our Christian faith mature on our walk. However, we have gotten to the height of maturity based on our stance with Christ, in Christ, before God. Are we together, right? So there's a thing called as a child. You speak like a child. So it means that in the administration of things of the Spirit, there is the childlike nature, there is the manly nature. So Paul says, well, when I became a man, I put away what? Childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So what is Paul talking about, part and full? He's talking about his own journey. Are we together? Yeah. So the use of the words there should not get you confused, as though Paul is talking about something that will happen together. In just like what you call in what scripture did we explain a few months ago, around Philippians 3:10. Yeah, Philippians 3:10. When he says Philippians 3:10, how did that skip me? Yeah, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I would say that that was not Paul praying. Altogether, right? So Paul is describing two states of his Christian faith. There was a time where he started acting mature, and there's a time where he acted like a child. So when he became or started becoming mature, he put childish things away, right? In the summary of what he's teaching, what is the backbone of, so what do we see in your expressions of the things of the Spirit that makes us see, that's a man that is growing? It's charity. You get the point? It's charity. Altogether, look at verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. He says these three. But the greatest of these is what? Love. So the greatest, he says, faith, hope, charity. That's what love. But the greatest is love. So let love be at the fulcrum, at the back end. Are we together? You know, in the tech world, you have back end engineers. You have front end engineers. So as a front end engineer, you are given word of knowledge. You are given word of wisdom, right? You're given manifestation of things of the Spirit. Yeah, I'm saying at the back end, wrap, mask your heart in love. Perish your heart in the mixture called love. Perish your heart in the mixture called charity. Are we together? Yeah. Deep your heart, soak it, let it marinate. You get the point? Marinate your heart in the concept and the teaching of God's love. Are we together? That, what will you call all those activities of love? Yeah, it's going to be called back end. So you are a front end engineer and a back end engineer. That means you are a full stack engineer. Are we together? So every believer is a full stack believer. So, or let me say it differently. Every believer should be a full stack believer. You see, in the tech world, there are tech gurus, or you call software engineers, who focus on back end alone. Are we together? There are tech gurus and who focus on front end. That means you can be a front end guru and actually well known that you are good at that. Yeah, but the truth is that for the believer or a company, more often than not, might have you as an advantage on their team if you can do both front end and back end. Are we together? They call those engineers, they say they are full stack engineers. Yeah, so for the believer should be a full stack believer. Where there is the marinating of your heart in love, in that world of yours, when it comes to manage, you are a child. When it comes to understanding, you are a man. Then there's the front end, where you give your tongue, give interpretation, you give the working of miracles, right? But both of them are functioning effectively so that you give the full, Paul will say, in a more perfect way. Are we together? Or in a more excellent way? Yeah, that's the perfection that's expected with love at the fulcrum. That's why you see, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts in the body. Are we together? Then he goes to chapter 14 and says, follow charity, desire spirituals. So he talks about the gifts of the Spirit in verse 12 and talks about the gifts of the Spirit in verse 14. Are we together? Right? Then he uses verse 13 to speak about what? Charity. And it says of these three, the greatest is charity. Now look at chapter 14. So you know we've been doing 1 Corinthians 12 all the way to verse 13, all the way to verse 14, chapter 14, sorry. Yeah, look at chapter 14. Paul now says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit, what happened? He speaketh mystery. Now, verse 3 says, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in tongues edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather, yeah, that word rather there is the word malon, right? So rather that, right? So I would that ye all speak in tongues, but rather, yeah, but much more than that, ye prophesy. Tongues, you see what he's saying. Paul is not in any way saying on the grand scheme of things, interpretation is always no. What he's saying is that when we are together amongst other people, what is actually most, or what should be our conclusion, should be tongues, or what you call prophecy. Interpretation, what you call prophecy. Do you know why? Go to verse 34. Go to verse 34. Go to verse 34. 39, sorry. 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Yeah, what is covet? We said, check your notes. What is covet? It should be in your notes, right? And if you don't know it, it means you are not doing the right thing. Yeah, if you don't know this word covet right now, it means you are not doing the right thing, right? So you should have taken note of what I said the word covet was a few minutes ago, right? So if you don't have it in your note, it means you are not doing the right thing, okay? So Paul says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. What's the word covet? We said it's the word zelio or zelo, right? It means to burn with a desire or, you know, to have a zealous passion regarding a matter, right? So what did Paul says? Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, desire to prophesy. And what did he say about tongues? And forbid not to speak with tongues. You see, it's so interesting to see that people who have a Bible and people who have 1 Corinthians 14 in their Bible, verse 39 in their Bible, in fact, the whole 1 Corinthians 14, speak about how tongues is not for the believer today. So Paul was saying, so you claim that tongues was for the apostles alone. However, the apostle, the apostle of the faith, Paul, will say in that church, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Brethren will be Adelphos, everybody from the same womb of the resurrection. And he will say, covet to prophesy, forbid not. That means we don't forbid speaking in tongues. It says forbid not to speak with tongues. That means anybody who disallows tongues, especially in there for the believer, is someone that is not doing the right thing. It says forbid it not. It didn't say forbid it not for pastors alone. No, brethren. So if every believer in Corinth should be able to speak in tongues, Paul didn't meet Jesus physically. Paul is giving that instruction to the church of Corinth. And they are allowed to speak in tongues. But we cannot speak in tongues because we're 2,000 years after. No, it doesn't make any sense. So Paul says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues, let all things. So where did his focus now end with? He says, let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. So that we preach decency and preach order in the local church does not mean we should forbid. We shouldn't get to a point that our decency and orderliness forbids tongues. Are we together? So when you see a local assembly, right, where there's a forbidding of tongues, is a local church that is far from the template of the epistles. Are we together? You see, when it comes to the Christian faith, a church is far based on how far and wide apart they are from the doctrine of the gospel, from the doctrine of the apostles, from the doctrine of Jesus. A church is not far because it's 10 hours away from you. A church is not far because it's 20 minutes away from you. A church is not far because it is 2 hours away from you. A church is far when you see how far it is, yeah, from the doctrinal expressions and doctrinal persuasions as explained by the apostles. So Paul says, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done. Let all things be done in decency and in order. All right? So go back to verse 6, where we were. Go back to verse 6. We're in verse 6 right now. 1 Corinthians 14, 6. Now, brethren, we're in 5. It says, rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies. Where in the local church than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. So where do you see a greater person regarding tongues interpretation? It says that the church may receive edifying. So it means that if I speak in tongues, another man does not get edified. Are we together? Yeah. Another man does not get edified, right? Yeah, but to edify another man, it is worth paying attention to the fact that you need to interpret. Look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Yeah, think about it. Joshua comes into the church and he speaks in tongues from beginning to the end, 52 services a year. Yeah, you get the point. Except I shall speak to you either by revelation. So it means I can start with tongues, but there is revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or doctrine. All together. Praise God forevermore. But the level now says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I'm trying to jump a lot, you can tell, right? I didn't know time had disappeared on me. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in tongues pray that he may interpret. Another problem a lot of us have here. You see, Paul says that when you speak in tongues, pray that he may interpret. So what happens? You say, Oh Lord, please, what's the interpretation? Oh Lord, please help me. Nope. What he's really saying is pray ye out the interpretation. Are we together? So wherefore, let him that speaketh in tongues pray out the interpretation. That means pray ye out. That means pray out the interpretation. That means don't end there because you are in the church. Ensure that your goal is to go further. Yeah, let it be your will, your wish, you go further regarding interpreting. Verse 14, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful, so as the understanding of others around you. He says, what is it then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. That means blessings, right? You should have times when you pray in the spirit and pray in your understanding. Yep. You should have those times. A lot of believers don't know how to pray in their understanding. You know why? They don't have a lot in their understanding. Are we together? You see, tongues is not an escape for shutting down understanding prayer. Do you understand? There are times where you pray your understanding. Yeah. However, Paul lets you see, well, that understanding is the also. Look at it again. What is it then? Verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. And I will sing with the spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. So it means, dear saint, listening to me today. All together. Dear leader, listening to me today. Dear singer, listening to me today. Dear minister, listening to me today. There is praying in tongues and praying in understanding. There's also singing in tongues and singing in understanding. Are we together? There is singing in tongues, singing in understanding. There is praying in tongues, praying in understanding, right? There are the two, there are four fields. Yeah, one of this series, we'll look at songs, singing in the spirit. We've done it before, I know. But you know, as a local church, in the coming days, we're going to pay more attention to singing in the spirit. Right, where would have those who come around to lead us whilst we've rehearsed and prepared ourselves for singing songs? We actually start out in the spirit and give interpretation to those songs in the front of everybody. Are we together? Yeah, we'll have that casually in our meetings, we'll have that intentionally in our meetings. Are we together? Yeah, so a praise leader will come around, right? I will just stay there and just give us a tongue, right? And sing in tongues. And we all will sing in tongues. However, the one leading will give us a direction, right? Help and govern. Yeah, you remember? Help and govern. I think it's Athenesis and Kubernetes, right? So they will help, those are the Greek words, sorry. So they will help bring direction, help give us a path we can sing around. Are we together? So they will sing in tongues, then they will sing in understanding. So it means for the believer, don't pray so much in tongues, you cannot pray your understanding. Don't sing so much in understanding, you cannot sing in tongues. Did you get that? Yeah? Don't sing so much in tongues that you cannot sing in your understanding. I mixed it. Yeah? Don't pray so much in tongues, you cannot pray in your understanding. Are we together? Yeah? Bible says in Colossians, let the word of God, message of Christ dwell richly in you. Yeah? So it means that there is not a lot you know or you paid attention to. That is why you always think you can run. Eh? So there is, you pray in tongues, you pray in understanding. You sing in tongues, you sing in understanding. So don't pray alone in tongues such that you cannot pray in understanding. Are we together? Yeah? So we should call you to come and give us a prayer or to, you know, to have an introductory prayer or pray for someone who is sick, for instance, or pray for people who are sick, right? And we will see the richness or the riches of God's grace in your words. We'll see the richness of God's power in your words. Why? Because you can pray in tongues, pray in understanding. Also, don't be so musically dexterous that you wipe out the tongues part or the supernatural part that the believer has exposure to altogether. That's why you always, I would always say it. It is totally wrong for a minister to be singing, right, or a minister to be leading people in the church, and other people are what, recording, or other people are sitting down. When they finish, they will clap. We are in the church because everyone should be what, involved. Right, everyone. Now there'll be parts of the songs where parts of some songs will sing where it will be, you know, in the third person as though God is speaking over us. Oh yes, there will be those parts. that it is every time you have those kind of meetings. No, no, no. That shouldn't be the case. Altogether, that should be the case, right? So it's also wrong, for instance, when you see a musicologist or a musician, right? Yeah, pays a lot of attention to his instrumentality, to his dexterity, but doesn't have substance when it comes to what? The riches of the spirit. So a pianist should leave the piano. Are we together? A pianist should leave the piano. A drummer should leave the drum and come out in front of everyone and what? Give himself to what? Tongues and interpretation. Yeah, so in tongues interpretation, we don't look at your musical dexterity. Even though afterwards, we might be able to fine-tune what you gave by the Spirit with music, right? But it is not first music. It is first, what are the words that are said? What are the things you've brought forth by the Spirit? What are the things you've said as utterances? What are the things that you've ministered? Well, yeah, from the wealth of your understanding, we should hear you sing. That's why you see, I play the keyboard, and whilst I'm playing the keyboard, I'm worshiping, I'm singing. Are we together? Because those words are like the most important to us, where we say the things about ourselves. Are we together? That God has done for us in Christ, or who we are. Yeah, or what we are called to do, or what we should, you know. So we should not just stay long in tongues and not be able to pray in understanding. Also, we should not know, yeah, okay, we have the lineup of songs for this Sunday. Beautiful, good one. Yeah, decency and order, that's okay, right? Choir rehearsals, that's good, that's beautiful. But much more than that, there should be days and opportunities of times where we start in tongues, give out a psalm, and come back to it later and add music to it. The music might not come there. So we don't begin to say, so that the music will flow, let us not give tongues. No, you give your tongues, then what? You interpret it. Are we together? Yeah, you give your tongues, then what? You interpret it. So in the real sense, you need to ensure that you've allowed the word of Christ to dwell richly on your inside. That is why we will see. So you see, I said on Sunday that when I see a believer, I know how much they give to the reading of God's word. I know how much they give to the display and manifestation of the Spirit in their personal lives. I also know how much they give to their prayer time. Temporarily, I know your devotion by what we see. You can't be on fire and hide it. Nobody is on fire and hide it. You can't be on fire and hide it. Yeah, you can't be. And everybody's watching. Everybody's seeing. Everybody's watching. Everybody's seeing. Everybody's watching. Everybody's seeing. You cannot say you are consistent. You cannot say you are committed. And it's only you that knows. No. Yeah, you cannot say you are devoted. You cannot say you are fluent in the gifts of the Spirit. And only you knows. No. We will see it in our meetings. When we come together for ministration, we will see it. Yeah, pastor walks around and comes back to your group and says, brother, minister now. Sister, minister now. So I'm trying to say, even if that's the case, my goal as your pastor is to help you. To help raise, help, you know, support, help push. But let them not be pushing you now for 10 years. Let them be pushing you for 10 months. Are we together? So you come to a local church like God's Palace, for instance. You see how the Spirit is giving first place. What do? You learn from that to know how to jump in, how to start, how to kickstart it. Yeah, like I said on Sunday, don't allow us to always whine you. Eh? Small thing, you cannot minister. Small thing, pastor, say after me. And the Spirit, there's a place for that, we know. But you should just get into it, yeah? And if you cannot, if you have to waste a lot of time before you are sensitive, but you get what God wants to say or what God is saying, not what God wants to say, what God is saying, it just really means that you've not given your attention to it over time. Anyway, that's my emphasis. So it says, I will sing in tongues, I'll pray in my understanding also. It says, verse 16, "Ah, else, when thou shalt bless the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks? Seeing he does not understand what you say. For even though thou verily givest thanks well." You see, Paul says, when you give thanks in tongues, you are giving thanks well. But the order is not edified. So it means tongues is a beautiful way to see that you are giving thanks well. So it means as a church, we should sing in tongues more than ever before. You get the point? Yeah? So when we come to church, the person leading song says, "Lift up your hands and sing in the Holy Ghost." Yeah, what do? You sing in the Holy Ghost. Paul says, when you are doing that, you are giving thanks well. Yeah? So will there be singing in the Holy Ghost? Then afterwards, we sing in our understanding. Yes. So that Our minds can what? Be instructed, edified. We can relate together, function together, and worship and give thanks together. However, you see, every service we have should always start. So you see, if you look at the pattern in gospel life, right? When a person finishes leading prayer, what do they end with when they leave the stage? It is lift up your hands and give God thanks. Give God thanks. What do you see? Give God thanks really mean you sing in tongues instantly. So you start from tongues instantly. Lift up your hands, give God thanks. You can start in tongues, yeah, instantly. If leader says, lift up your hands and sing in tongues to the Holy Ghost, or sing in tongues to God, or sing in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you lift up your hands, you sing in the Holy Ghost. Paul says, well, when you sing in tongues, thou verily givest thanks well. Take that as a fact. Yeah, but look at what Paul now says in verse 18. I thank my God. So this Paul who was saying, greater is it that prophesies, greater is it that interprets. Paul now says, well, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Yeah, I thank my God. That's an audacious statement to make. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. He says, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach, than 10,000 words in tongues. Right, he says in verse 20, brethren, be not children understanding. Altogether, be not children understanding. Then look at verse 21. In the law it is written. So what is in the law? Right? You know, we've taught you before. When you see the law does not mean 10 commandments. Law is the word nomos in the Greek, N-O-N-O-S, nomos in the Greek. And that's the word that means doctrine. It can mean doctrine, it can mean teachings. So Paul says, in the law it is written. Now, law does not always mean Moses. Law does not always mean 10 commandments. Yeah, in the law it is written. So what is written? Listen, how do we know? With men of other tongues and other lips. That means Paul is quoting somewhere. Interpreter calls it the law. So with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, says the Lord. And yet for all that will they not hear me, says the Lord. So let's quickly see where Paul is from. Isaiah 28. So I've already given it away. So is Isaiah Moses? No. Yeah, but Moses will be the background foundation for Isaiah's teachings and writings. So Moses will be the foundation for Isaiah. Isaiah will be the foundation for Paul with Moses. So if you look at Isaiah 28, verse 10. Look at verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precepts, precept upon precepts, lines upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Look at verse 11, where I'm going to. For with stammering lips and another tongue, listen carefully. So this is Isaiah as an utterance. If you look through the series, there's somebody else we've quoted in the writings of scriptures that speaks about tongues, right? Or speaks about tongues, so to say, tongues and prophecy and interpretation. I've given you already Joel. Yeah, look at what Isaiah says. Isaiah says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, and what you have there. So what is he saying in verse 11? With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak. So is this where Paul is quoting from? Yeah? So what did Paul now say as well again? To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. Yeah? Go back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. So when Paul says in the law, how can you write that as a good Bible student? You might choose not to say in the law. You can say in the scriptures or in Isaiah. You get that, right? So, or you can say Prophet Isaiah wrote, or it is written in the book of Isaiah, that with men of other tongues and with other lips, are we together? What did he say? He says, with men of stammering lips and another tongue. Yeah. So Paul is teaching, or Paul's idea of tongues is not from the blues. It is something that was taught him, and also is something that has its precedence in the writings of the prophets. Are we together? Yeah. So what did Isaiah say about tongues? Go back to Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah. Go to Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay? What did Isaiah say? Go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 28. He says, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. So, does God want man to rest? Yes. What will be an expression or a sign of the rest God gives man? Tongues. You get that? Tongues. Yeah. I'm about to get troublesome, but trust me, I will leave it here because I just saw that I have less than 20 minutes to go. Yeah. So what is tongues? Tongues will be a sign expressing what? Rest. So tongues is a language that is found in the bosom of a man who was once called weary, that is now what? In rest. Look at that again. Yeah. Look at that again. Isaiah 28 verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest. What did he say in verse 11? With stammering lips and another, yeah, what you can call other tongues. Mark 11, Mark 24, Mark 16, sorry. Yeah, this sign shall follow. They shall speak with new tongues. You can call it another tongue. Are we together? So he says, will he speak to these people? He says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing that yet they will not hear. Listen to what he says. So Isaiah says, rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this, it means that when tongues is spoken, what is that giving an expression to? This is rest. This is rest. This is refreshing. Altogether, this is rest. This is rest. This is refreshing. Weary man needs to rest. Weary man is resting. Weary man finds rest in that which God supplies. So Matthew 11, Jesus will say, come unto me, those ye that are leading and ye that are heavy laden leading, and I will give you rest. Right? I will give you rest. Okay? So he says, this is the rest wherewith, to whom he said, this is the rest. So when Peter was teaching, Peter will teach from Joel. When Paul is teaching tongues, Paul is quoting or teaching from Isaiah 28. All together. So it means that in the writings of the prophets, we see tongues as a doctrine. We see tongues as a teaching. All together. Yeah? So when Paul was teaching in Corinth, he expected them to have a background of the book of Isaiah. Are we together? So there's a part that Isaiah speaks about in Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. But Paul did not really see it. Paul did not mention it all. The writings of 1 Corinthians does not carry it. Yeah? So look at verse 12. Isaiah 28, 12. To whom, yes, he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. Yet they will not hear. So when a man speaks in tongues, when an unbeliever sees a man speaking in tongues, what should the unbeliever say about that? That's an expression of rest. That's an expression of what? Refreshing. How do you know? Go back to Isaiah 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, go back to 1 Corinthians 14. You see that Paul saw it. Paul knew it, but Paul says it differently. This is what I said, though. Yeah, to whom he said, this is the rest, Isaiah 28. So when an unbeliever sees a believer, so when an unbeliever sees you speaking in tongues, what is the message on the back of that tongues? That's an expression of God saying, you see what you see in this man that is a believer is what? A sign to show rest, a sign to show refreshing. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, so 21. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. In the law it is written, with men of another tongue and other lips. What did he call other lips in 1 Corinthians chapter, in Isaiah chapter 28? He calls this stammering lips. Okay? Yeah? I would expect you. I realized in the last 10 minutes that I said a lot in this teaching. Okay? I realized that I've said a lot in this teaching. I would admonish you, pick it again, right, between now and Sunday, and listen to it again and again. Okay? So in the writing of scriptures, Isaiah particularly, he says, with men of another tongue, that's using Isaiah's words, right? And stammering lips will I speak unto these people. Who are these people? Yeah, the people in context are those that need to hear. Do you understand? Yeah, so it means that when a man speaks in tongues, at the back of the tongues is a message communicated. What is the message communicated? This is rest. This is refreshing. This is rest. This is refreshing. So when I see you speaking in tongues, I say, this is rest. This is refreshing. That is the message on the back of your expression of the gifts of tongues. Yeah, but an unbeliever should see it, and that should be an attractive what? A sign. Is that's why it says this sign shall follow. What is the sign? Tongues. Yeah, one of them is Mark 16. Tongues. So tongues is a sign. Are we together? Yeah. So when you see tongues, you see what is a sign? A sign is that which points to something else, points to another. So tongues is a sign that points to refreshing and points to rest. Gracious Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. All together. Yeah. So it says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Tongues are for a sign. Did you get that? Tongues are for a sign. Yeah. Is tongues a sign in Mark 16? Oh, yes, tongues is a sign. This sign shall follow them that believe. However, it is a sign that is expressed from the believer, but it is a way God is communicating a message to the unbeliever so that they will hear. Look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet for all that will they not hear me. You see, Paul has already said that tongues in the real sense is not something the third party's mind will understand. You get that? So if it's something that the minds of man should not understand, so why is God now saying people should hear him or should hear them? It is because on the back of tongues is an expression. So it means that the people in Acts 2, when they saw tongues in operation in Acts 2, 4, what should they have seen it as? A message through the sign called tongues, that these are people who have come into rest, who have come into a refreshing. So you are one who has come into rest, who has come into refreshing. That's why you see, as a believer, when you find yourself in seemingly dark situations and confusing situations, what do? You can use tongues to or to remind your atmosphere that what we are a man found in God's rest. So Paul says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believeth not. Did you get that? Yeah, so when Paul was teaching the Corinthians, he expected you go back to Isaiah. Are we together? So when you begin to hear men talk in tongues, what is God saying? God is saying, I'm speaking. What is God's message? This is rest. So when you speak in tongues on Sunday, an unbeliever comes and sees you speaking in tongues. What is God communicating at the back of that message? By this way, if you tell your wife, right, or your husband, and you say something nice to your husband, yeah, you are such a beautiful, you know, young man who is so driven, and you know, you have so much. Yeah, on the back of that, what are you doing? You are expressing love. What is the message you are communicating? You are communicating you love your husband, but not using the words I love you. So, what is God communicating when a man expresses tongues as a sign? It is to say, well, this is rest, this is refreshing. Altogether, yeah. So, in the lips of man speaking, we see, or speaking in another language or in tongues, we see God communicating to man that this is rest. So in speaking in tongues, God is saying something. What is God saying on the back? There is a message. This is rest. This is rest. This is rest. This is rest. That's the main message. Refreshing has come. Are we together? Right? So at the back of tongues is what? The message of rest. Which is what? Message of God's love. Remember that we said that earlier on. Yeah, there's a message that, so there's interpretation at the front end. Behind interpretation is tongues. Behind tongues is what? Rest. Yeah, which is what? Love. Together, right? So rest is an expression that can be seen as a sign when tongues is spoken. Look at Hebrews 4. I'll close in Hebrews 4 today. I thought I was going to do more with 1 Corinthians 14 today, but we're strengthening, okay? Yeah, look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. No, Hebrews 4, sorry, Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, precious Father, Hebrews 4, right? Verse 2. Okay, so look at what author of Hebrews says. I'll just close here and come back here next week, Wednesday, not Sunday. So it says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that what heard it. Right? What is the message? The gospel there is the message of entering into whose rest? His rest. So as we entered into rest, into God's rest, what is one of the signs that follows from that place of rest? Tongues. Altogether, tongues. So for we which have believed, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So it is because you have believed, that is why part of the signs that can follow you is tongues and the other gifts. Yeah, emphasis on tongues today, right? Utterances, right? Yeah, look at verse 3 again. First Corinthians, Hebrews 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the what? Foundation of the world. So what is foundation of the world? That's from the beginning. Yeah. So it means that in the beginning, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, you see, on the seventh day, God rested. Who was to rest on the seventh day? Well, rest on the seventh day is a figurative way to speak about God supplying rest and refreshing to man. So when man becomes born again or believes the message of the gospel, what happens? He has entered into God's seventh day. That's the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Are we together? Yeah, that's a lot said there, but I won't go further than that. So what am I saying to you? First Corinthians 14, right? Tongues is an expression, is a sign that what? You are now one who is found in God's rest. You are now one who God, right, has invited into his rest, and you became a partaker. Why or how? By believing in the message of the gospel. So tongues is an ability in salvation. Are we together? Let me say that differently. Tongues is an ability for a man that is in God's rest. And to be in God's rest is to be in God's salvation. And to be in God's salvation means that you have tongues as an expression, right, of the message of God's saving power. So tongues is an expression of salvation as rest. Tongues is an expression of salvation as refreshing. Tongues is an expression of rest, refreshing. Are we together? Right? So if a man is speaking in tongues, what's happening on the back end? God is speaking and is saying, what is the message? This is rest. This is rest. This is rest. So you see, that rest that produces tongues, Paul now says, when we come amongst ourselves, are we together? So on Sunday, we're going to pay attention more to tongues and interpretation, right? And from tongues interpretation, we now give words of knowledge. You see that? Yeah, you can have that mix. Yeah, you can have that mix. You can start in tongues, and in your interpretation of tongues, you actually give words of knowledge. You can actually start with a prophecy, and your prophecy, you give direction, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Yeah, we'll do that on Sunday. Yeah, as our usual practice is in the last few weeks. Yeah, so that place or that spirit of God in you, which is the spirit of rest on your inside, that you are in association with because you believe the gospel, right, is the same spirit that produces tongues. That same spirit produces an interpretation. Are we together? So it means that because it's the spirit responsible for interpretation, it means that the spirit of God, anything that wants to be said, is something that can be communicated to the understanding of man. Altogether, it can be communicated. Yeah, so there's a speaking, and there are, if you look at Isaiah 28, yeah, it says they will not hear, right? So there's a speaking, and there are those that need to hear. What we do not hear, they will not hear, that the Lord is the one that supplies rest. The word God is the one that supplies salvation. God is the one that supplies refreshing. It is available to you. You get that? Yeah. So unbelievers should see tongues, someone, a believer speaking in tongues, and what they see from there is that God is calling them hither, that what that believer has is available to them as well. But what do the unbelievers do? Paul, Isaiah says they will not hear. Paul says they don't hear. They will not hear. It means it is available to them, but they will not hear. That's why when Peter will now teach it from Joel, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it means that when tongues is spoken, an unbeliever sees, what should he see? Paul says in Isaiah, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22, he says, wherefore tongues is for a sign, is as a sign, is a sign to them that believe not. Are we together? Right? So God supplies his rest. God is the giver of rest. God is the giver of the vocal ability in rest. So what is the vocal ability fundamentally found in rest? It is the vocal ability called tongues. So every believer, right? Every single believer, right? Every single believer has the Spirit of God. And every single believer has what? Ability to speak in tongues. And much more than speaking in tongues is their ability give interpretation to the tongues. Oh, well, it's been a pleasure. I was going to go to the next scripture right now, but we won't definitely tackle as much. I'll pick this up again next week, Wednesday, all things being equal. But, you know, take our time, listen to this again. You know, you can play this in your atmosphere, in your house, in your home, and just listen to it again to sleep off this evening, right? Because the Lord has been said, right? You see tongues as a sign and expression of rest. Are we together? So one of the things you actually can remind yourself regarding God's rest is by speaking in tongues. Are we together? Right? Because behind the message of tongues is a message of what? Refreshing. A message of what? Rest. Yes, though to the unbeliever. But really, in the real sense, right, you can keep your heart in check. You can keep your heart sane by talking voraciously. You see, Paul knew this. That's why he could come boldly to the church in Corinth and say, you see, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. What a boast. Wow, he knows. He knows. Paul knew something. Yeah? It would be very ridiculous to end to assume that gift of the Spirit ended with the apostles. Well, I'll come your way again on Sunday. Let's get ready. Come again on Sunday. We're going to have a teaching of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, as much as prophecy, tongues, and interpretation as well. And that will give, you know, the Spirit of God the opportunity to give us a direction. And we'll just flow as always, as usual. Come ready, come instructed, and come edified, come ready to edify, rather. Ensure that you stay praying in tongues as you come to church, you walk to church, just so that you get your heart in the right place to receive the best of God's word. Well, I'll see you all on Sunday by 10 a.m. Right, we'll come around 9 o'clock and ensure you're not late. Come around 9 o'clock and let's get the church ready for service. I love you all dearly. Have a good night. Cheers.